ESPN has something out, and I thought, this is interesting. We know Andrew Berry's draft record has not been stellar since he's been with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. I think it's accurate. He's not nailed a lot of draft choices. And I think that's a problem, to be perfectly honest. But Matt Miller from ESPN put something out today. And he says, ranking the 100 best picks, steals, fits from the 2025 NFL draft.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, what's this all about? At number 10, the 10th best pick, steal, or fit in the NFL draft, Shedeur Sanders. Oh, Dan, I was ready to spit it out and you hit the timpani. It's Shedeur Sanders. Miller had him ranked as the 25th player overall, and he has him ranked at number 10 on this list.
Okay.
He says getting a prospect universally ranked in the top 32 at pick number 144 represents terrific value for the Browns.
Do we have to do equal time on this? Or?
No, not. Well, okay. I don't know. Should we?
Well, you're talking about Shedeur.
All right.
Yeah.
In accordance with the radioactive 1927, equal time for Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan's dad, Garrett, played quarterback at Hawaii from 1986 to 1990. When he left, he was the all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns at Hawaii. Over 5,600 passing yards and 47 touchdowns. All right. At number 23.
He was in college the same exact time. It means I'm old enough to be.
Sure are.
Yeah.
And this is Matt Miller here. And again, this is the 100 best picks, steals, fits. At number 23 on his list. And remember, this is Andrew Berry drafting, and Andrew's drafts have not been universally loved, is Mason Graham. And he had him ranked as the 4th overall player in the draft. He thinks getting Graham was a good idea. Love the idea of Graham playing next to Myles Garrett on the Browns' defensive line. Graham doesn't lose reps and will draw attention away from Garrett on the edge. Defensive line could quickly become a strength for a team that's lacking advantages. That's nicely put, isn't it? Hi, the Browns are lacking advantages.
They're emerging. So, we're not going to fail them. We're
he's
emerging.
He's got two guys in his top 23 of best picks and steals and fits. And it gets better.
How many other teams had two in the top 25? I know.
Well,
don't ask.
Why don't you count them up and find out?
I wish I could.
At number 41.
You are reading something that I don't have access to.
Well,
so
then maybe you should know better people. Hmm. At number 41, Quinshon Judkins, the running back. He said he has Judkins ranked as his number 3 running backs in an early round grade, and that's where the Browns picked him. Loves how Judkins fits in a Kevin Stefanski offense as a Nick Chubb replacement. I think that's really interesting. He'll be given every chance to be RB1 in Cleveland. But guess what?
What?
At pick 44, he has running back Dylan Sampson. So he has both Browns running back picks in the top 44. Of his 100 best steals and fits and
do we get a trophy for this or like a ribbon or certificate?
Browns had several value picks in this draft, and Sampson was one of the best with a 62-point swing in terms of grade against draft position. That's pretty good. He had him ranked as the 64th best prospect, and the Browns got him at 126. His dynamic, slashing style forms an ideal thunder and lightning pairing with Judkins. That's pretty good.
Thunder and lightning, kids. Thunder and lightning.
And lightning. You better knock, Andy, on wood. And at 53, Carson Schlesinger.
What number was that?
53. Now, the Browns took him at 33. Matt Miller had him ranked at 45 overall. He said he was the only true off-ball linebacker with a starter grade on his board.
Mm.
He said with JOK's status unknown, Schlesinger could be a week one starter at either the Will or the Mike linebacker spots.
So you're saying they had five of the best picks of the top 53?
Yes.
So
how about that?
That's not bad.
Well, now, they haven't played it down in the NFL, but...
Well, that's why you get a certificate.
Thank you very much. five of the Browns draft choices.
Or a state championship in the state of Ohio.
Five of the Browns draft choices.
They're handing those out like certificates.
Sitting right there. Dylan Gabriel not. Neither is Harold Fannin.
Oh.
But
I read someone told me that they thought Fannin was might have been one of the best picks in the draft.
Well, I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
But I do think it's kind of fascinating. Andrew Berry, whose drafts have not very been highly thought of.
It might have been out of the Canton repository, though, because he's from. I'm kidding. I read the Canton repository. I think you do a great
goes
job.
Goes ahead and says a few things, and they pick all those guys. Here's another one. You ready?
Sock it to me.
Well, you might find this fun. The Browns draft, and this is according to NFL Next Gen Stats. They put together a little graphic and a little digging here. The most productive draft class. And our buddy Lance Reisland sent me this.
Okay.
And Lance does a lot of stuff for Cleveland.com when he's not educating the youth of Northeast Ohio or doing color analysis on football games. The most productive draft class, in other words, guys who actually produced at the college level, not just drafting on potential, guys who have production over potential. Number one, according to the NFL Next Gen Stats, the Cleveland Browns.
Number one?
Number one. Most productive at the college level draft classes. Browns were number one with a grade of 83. Next, the Giants at 80. Patriots at 75.
Is there a parade or what? Do we get a parade?
No, but I just think it's interesting. And Lance immediately sent something to me and he said, the Browns drafted for productivity over potential this year. And then like 2 days later, he found this and sent it to me backing up his thought. Productivity over potential. And you know, Andy, it goes back to, I think it's the same thing in the NBA. Okay, you can draft all these guys who you think might be really good. Give me the guy who was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give me the guy who was good.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders was pretty good at Colorado.
He was.
Dylan Gabriel was pretty good at UCF.
He was.
And Oklahoma. And Oregon. Judkins was pretty dang good at Ole Miss. And he was good at Ohio State in limited use because he didn't have to be the man. Sampson, in his first 2 years, was okay. Split some carries. Third year, boom, SEC Offensive Player of the Year. Browns, Mason Graham. Force in the middle of the defensive line for the Michigan Wolverines. The Browns actually drafted guys who produced at the college level. Schlesinger, in his 1 year, really good. Now the hope is you get to the NFL and you do the same thing. James is in Mentor. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good.
We're all right, James.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say a couple of things. I think sometimes I know when we talk about the receiving core, you know, I think we could be a little hyperbolic when we talk about where we stand right now. I mean, for me personally, I saw promise out of Cedric Tillman.
I like him. I like him.
Yeah, I think there was a stretch of games where a lot of people, again, the injury happens, and we have a lot of, you know, again, we don't ding Denzel Ward for getting injured when we know he's a good player, but. This is Cedric. That was Cedric Tillman's second year,
yep.
And he was starting to show some promise. So
he
if
sure
we're
was.
Saying for a third round pick, I mean, to me, the arrow points up for him. And I know a lot of people are hesitant with Jerry Jeudy, but my expectations, I saw what he could be, and we understood what the situation was in Denver and what a lot of people said. He is in a healthier situation being in Cleveland, at least coming out of like, hey, let's get him into a newer surrounding. And he produced. So to me, I think arrows are pointing up for those players. And to your point of like, who else we can bring in, like you said, you know, Shark or, you know, Johnson. I mean, I think if I'm a receiver looking to rehab my opportunity, my career, Cleveland's the place I want to do it. You know, why? Because you have opportunities that there's going to be an emphasis of bringing in a quarterback that they want to make sure is going to be the guy. They are going to give those people the opportunity. You're going to run the ball. So number one, they're going to try to run and, you know, build that off of so you can do the opportunities of play action passing and stuff like that. So open an opportunity. We all say Kevin Stefanski, can open up the play calls for the wide receiver or have plays to allow the wide receivers to get open. So I think this is natural. I mean, Stephon Diggs, I mean, if everyone wants to talk about, you know, certain wide receivers, we've seen how he's produced with receivers with talent. And to the point that, Jeff, that you were making, I think there is a point to production right now. And to me, if you're looking at Diontae Johnson, his production shows that he can play.
Yep.
I would rather bet on that right now than a fifth-round receiver coming out of this draft and hoping he can do something. Now, the biggest thing, like you said, is at the end of the day, if he can't put it together here, it ain't a big sweat from us to just, hey, you know, you don't want to put it together, we'll just let you keep it moving because you know, your reputation's on it, right?
And James, that's why I say, hey, take a look at Chark. Take a look at Callaway. Yeah. You know, find somebody else that you can put in that group who might be able to produce for you. Or I mean, you can be sure they'll be paying attention, James. And James, really good thoughts. When teams start cutting guys, you know, whether it's at the end of the preseason, Andy, whether a guy gets cut, you know, in the offseason, that happens all the time as well. And I'm not kidding here. This sounds silly, but because the Browns are lacking right now in like, okay, this is our guy at wide receiver, man, look at the UFL. Find somebody who's like kicking butt in the UFL once that season really gets rolling. It's underway now. And bring him in for a look. Sign him. Bring him in for training camp. If he doesn't look good, get rid of him. It's okay. You're allowed to do that. A couple of things with some of the rookies that always cracks me up. And it involves, I won't say a sense of entitlement, but maybe a sense of being a little naive. Hmm. And when it comes to digits, you look perplexed.
I'm very perplexed.
Good. I'll explain it next on Baskin and Phelps.